stand by. We're about to begin. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the IBM IMS in a Sysplex Making It Manageable conference call. Today's call is being recorded. For opening remarks and introductions, I'd like to turn the call over to Ms. Margaret Wilson. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, Steve. Welcome, everybody, to IMS in a Sysplex Making It Manageable conference call. My name's Margaret Wilson, and I am the IMS Tools Market Manager. I will be your host for the call today. Let me first introduce our speakers. Our first speaker is Robert Magid, who's our IMS Tools Lead Architect. And our second speaker is Mitch Dooley of IBM, and Mitch is a member of the IMS Tools Development Team. So let me turn it over to Bob, and we'll get started. Bob?
Thank you, Margaret. Welcome to the call this morning. We'll start off on slide number two, which is the agenda. The objectives of this call, we'll review some key questions about the usefulness of the product that we'll talk about today. We'll go over some product highlights to give you a well-rounded view of the capabilities of this product beyond the problem scenarios that we'll enumerate as we go through the talk. We'll show you how the product is applicable to IMS in a Sysplex environment. On slide number three, the question is, how do you manage IMS in a Sysplex environment? Would having a single point of control in an IMS Sysplex environment make the management of IMS easier? We certainly hope so. It's easier to manage a group of IMSs via a single point of control than operating each individual IMS in the Sysplex individually. Today, how do you debug what is holding a resource? And the resource we're talking about here is database lock resources. For instance, how do you know how long a lock is held or when it's held too long? Beyond that, how do you resolve the long lock problem? Also, would it be helpful if you were notified in the shared queue environments about events such as structure overflow, structure failures, structure rebuilds, and the events having to do with the MVS log stream? The key here is, would it be useful to be notified when these thresholds are exceeded so that you can take action on it manually, or you can have automated operations set up to handle it on your behalf? And also, would having the ability to see the definitions and status of resources in a real-time mode across the Sysplex be helpful? The resources I'm talking about are transactions, programs, databases, and dependent regions. And this is particularly useful in a cloned IMS environment where the IMS systems involved run some portion of a common workload. And we hope that you'll find through these problem scenarios that we'll review that our new product, the IMS Sysplex Manager, can help provide the solutions that you need. Moving on to slide number four. IMS Sysplex Manager, a little background on it first. It's a new tool from IBM. It was announced and made generally available in December of 2005, and is designed specifically for IMS in a Sysplex or IMS Plex mode environments. It's a real-time management tool for IMS Sysplex environment. It tries to bring together information about multiple IMS systems into a single system image for ease and management of the entire Sysplex. It provides both local and aggregate view of data, and what this means is it allows you to view individual instances of information from the individual IMS systems, or it will aggregate data from all the IMS systems and bring it together for you and present it in a single system image. It provides a simplified user interface via TSO ISPF, which most folks are used to using in the operations of IMS. And hopefully this user interface helps to reduce the operational complexity of managing this environment. The interface has support for all important aspects of IMS Plex. It has structured displays of IMS-related address spaces, information about coupling facility structures, and IMS resource definitions, such as transactions and databases and programs. It has the ability to record system exceptions and generate console alerts. The exceptions that it recognizes are those that are internally generated within the IMS system, and may go unrecognized if not detected by this product. The alerts that it generates are sent to the console as well for to provide the ability to create automated operations to automatically react to those exceptions. The product provides IMS Type 1, that's the classic slash command support, and it provides it for both local and global commands. What I mean by this is local commands being commands that you would issue to an individual IMS system. You can also issue those same slash commands to all the IMS systems in the Sysplex simultaneously. The product also integrates with the IMS single point of control. The ISPF dialog for Sysplex Manager has a link into the IMS SPOC to provide a seamless integrated control mechanism for the Sysplex. The product provides support for IMS data sharing, IMS shared message queues, and CQS. And it also provides support for IMS Plex Operations Manager, Resource Manager, and Structured Call Interface. The product supports virtually any flavor of IMS, IMS Database Transaction Manager, Database Control, and DC Control for IMS versions 8 and later. Moving on to slide number 5, I wanted to show you an example configuration of Sysplex Manager. So as we go through the rest of the presentation, you'll understand how this thing actually operates. What we're seeing here is a sample configuration with 4 MVS systems. 2 of the MVS systems, MVS1 and MVS2, have IMS installed on them. And the other 2 systems are just other MVS systems within the same MVS Sysplex. The environment could be data sharing. It could be data sharing and shared message queues, or it could be data sharing, shared message queues, and IMS with IMS Plex enabled. The product supports any of those given environments. Now for some of the details. The blue boxes, deep blue boxes labeled IMS SM data collector on both MVS and MVS1 and MVS2 are the IMS SM data collectors. They interact directly with the IMS systems on those MVS images. Also, if CQS is installed and running, the data collector interacts with those address spaces directly as well. If you're running IMS Plex mode with the common service layer address spaces, SCI, RM, and OM, the data collectors interact directly with those address spaces as well. The orange boxes on MVS3 and MVS4 represent our IMS Sysplex Manager user interface servers. The configuration only really requires one of these, but in this example, we have 2 for redundancy purposes, as the same purpose for any other configuration with multiple IMS systems in it. So if you were to lose one of the MVS systems, the customers would still be able to access Sysplex Manager via the remaining user interface server. The purpose of the user interface server is to actually receive requests from the TSO ISPF users, which can be connected to any of the MVS systems within the complex, and forward those requests to the relevant data collectors within the configuration. So the user interface server acts as an interface and a hub to the rest of the IMS environment. The TSO ISPF clients that you see down below, there could be as many as you want. They can log in to any MVS system, as I mentioned, which means that the users do not have to be logged onto TSO on the same images where the IMS systems are. That concludes this foil. Mitch will take over for the next several foils. Mitch?
Hey, thank you, Bob. On foil 6, today's IMS environments have become very complex. There are new address spaces that have been added in addition to your control region, your DLI support and editor space, and your DBRC region. You may have IRLM for data sharing, CQS for shared message queues, or the CSL address spaces with IMS Plex. And it's difficult sometimes to identify all those different components and where they live and where they reside across your Plex environment. and also what's the status of these to make sure the address spaces that are required to be up are currently up, and also the versioning of those. IMS SysPlex Manager will provide a structured display of all the components across your ZOS or your Plex environment. And this display will show the components, their job or started task names, versions, and such. And from this display, we provide a drill-down capability to get into the information for the specific components. If you'll go to the next slide, 7, this shows that component display. And what you'll notice on here is we show all of the various address spaces that are involved in this particular Plex environment. You see a couple IMSs, shows the version. We show the OS name or the MVS image name where the specific entity resides. We'll show the job or started task name. For IMS control regions, we'll show the associated DBRC, DLI, and the IRLM. You can see there's some CQSs, the versioning there on the CQS, and the RMOM and SCI will show the versions associated with those particular pieces. And you can see from here we're going to select an IMS, and like I said, you can drill down, and what we'll see if you go to foil number 8, we selected the IMSA control region, and from here we see the actual drill-down menu, which is the IMS-specific menu. And from here you can see such things as looking at the configuration options and parameters for the IMS, look at destination QDEFs. We can look at the IMS resource definitions, which are your databases, transactions, programs, nodes, and L terms. The IMS operations gives you command capability to both the type 1 slash commands as well as the interface into SPOC that Bob was talking about earlier. We have some latch information, IRLM information, and then we also show some dependent region activity. Some of these we'll see a little later in the presentation. And if you go to number 9, please. Okay, one of the options on that menu we just looked at was the ability to look at runtime parameters. There are a lot of different sources for the IMS runtime parameters. You have the DFS PB member, but those can be overridden at execution time. And also, it's difficult sometimes to look and see which ones are actually in use. And are they the same across multiple images in your SysPlex? So another thing that IMS SysPlex Manager provides is a display of these parameters, which are the resolve values, the ones actually being used in execution. And we allow you to look at them across multiple IMSs within your Plex so that you can compare them. Go to slide number 10. We'll see a display of these parameters. And here, what we've done, I'll explain some of the fields. The top left, under the command line, you'll see three fields. You see IMS Plex, SM Server, and Route. The IMS Plex is the Plex name that is associated with this environment, and that incorporates all the IMSs and the component address spaces that we looked at earlier. The SM Server, as Bob mentioned, you can have multiple SM servers. This will show you which one in particular you're communicating with at this time. The Route field is for directing specific requests to one or more components. In this case, we have a Route field of asterisk, which tells us to go and retrieve the information from all IMSs in this environment. And what you'll see on this panel is we see three different IMSs, IMS A, 1, and 2. And this information has been sorted. Most of the screens you'll see have sort capabilities where you can sort them on any of the fields that are displayed. In this case, we've sorted the display by the keyword parameter, which allows you to look at the keyword parameters across multiple IMS systems and to make sure they're consistent. And this might be a good way to make sure your systems are consistent or look for potential problems with them not being defined the same. Okay, foil 11, please. Okay, there are also many different types of resources in IMS we're aware of, transactions, program databases, nodes, L-terms, and so forth. And in a Plex environment, it's important a lot of times that these definitions are, they're defined the same across multiple IMSs. Also, with data sharing and such, the status of these resources across the Plex is very important. And if you have the need to want to change the status of a resource across the Flex, it can be difficult because you could have multiple IMS systems to deal with. So we provide a scrollable display, a real-time display of these resources. We'll show the attributes and the status across the IMS system for easy comparison. And there's an integrated interface into Type 1 commands so that you can alter the status of these resources as you're looking at them. Slide number 12 will show the display. Again, this is for transactions. The route field, again, is asterisk, which means we're looking at them across all the IMSs. The transact field below the route field in the upper left lets you filter which transactions you want to look at. In this case, it's asterisk, so we're going to pull all the transactions across all the IMSs in this case. And down below, you'll see, again, we've sorted it by the IMS. So you can see for the add INV transaction on one of the systems, that resource has been stopped. So you can see right now with this display that you've got a different status on the different systems. This panel is scrollable. You'll see the more on the right side of the panel has the left and right carrots. There's a lot more information that we do show, like the actual attributes and definition information. From here, what we're doing is we want to start that resource because it needs to be started across all systems. So you can see we place the C under the command line next to the transaction. And if we'll go to slide 13, you'll see that from there we pop up a command window that lets you specify various commands associated with the transaction. This command panel will be specific to the type of resource that you are processing. So if it's a database, you'll see DBR and DBD commands. So in this case, what we're going to do is we're going to start this transaction on that system. So with that concludes my part for now, and I'll send it back to Bob.
Thank you, Mitch. The next scenario we'll look at on slide 14 is the use of the common service layer resource management structure. In IMS Plex, there's an option to use a resource management structure to track the global status of IMS resources within the IMS Plex. The content of the structure determines the IMS Plex-wide status of transactions, L terms, users, and other resources. Right now, there is no IMS-provided capability to view the content of the structure, and there's no capability to alter or delete inconsistently defined resources. So if you define something incorrectly within your IMS system, you may end up having to scratch and reallocate these structure resources in order to recover from the situation, which may impact your IMS availability. So the product offers the ability to display the content of the resource management structures. It's a real-time display of the structure content. It offers selectability from various resource types and name filtering. By that, we mean masking or absolute names. There's a capability to delete selected resource definitions, and hopefully this eliminates the need to scratch and reallocate resource structures, preserving the availability of your IMS system. And on the following slide, slide 15, you'll see that we have the resource management menu. Within the menu, there's the same fields that Mitch had described before, the IMS Plex, SM server, route, and the filter field. In the filter field, you can specify a name mask or an absolute name. And down below, you can choose any one of the resource types that are listed there, transactions, L terms, the whole list of them, any one of them, or you can choose option 11 and look at all of them. So we type in option 11 and we hit enter, and we move on to slide 16. You can see that the output from this function gives you a list of all the resources within that are defined within the structure. What we're looking at here are the transaction resources. You can see that by resource type. And to the left, you see the resource names. This is a scrollable, to and fro scrollable screen, so you can scroll down throughout the entries looking for whatever you like. Or, as Mitch had mentioned before, all of our panels provide sortability, so you can resequence this display based upon resource type or resource name or whatever. Also, we provide some internal information that IMS uses the versioning. It uses IMS uses that for serialization on the resource entries. And if there was an owner, an absolute ownership for that resource definition, that would be listed under the owner column. To delete a resource, we place a D in the command input field. You can see that we're going to delete a transaction CONV12M0. So we place that there, that D there, and then we hit enter. And like any good ISPF dialog that has manipulation capability, we pop up a confirmation screen to make sure that you do intend to actually delete this resource. At this point, you can hit enter or you can put a slash by set delete confirmation off, and it won't ask you for confirmation again. Once you've hit enter, the next screen that pops up on slide number 18 shows in the prompt field that the resource has been deleted. So that verifies that the action that you took has actually been performed. So at this point, the resource has been deleted, and it can be recreated by IMS with the correct resource definition type. Moving on to slide 19, the scenario here is coupling facility structures. Over the last several releases or versions of IMS, IMS has been making growing use of coupling facility structures for data sharing, for shared message queues, and most recently for the resource management structure that we just talked about. The problem here is that there's really no single source for a list of the structures that are in use within the IMS system, as well as it's difficult to obtain details about these structures as well. There are IMS commands and MVS commands to display information about the structures, but the output is kind of disjoint, and you have to hop from an IMS terminal to an MVS console to get these details. So what we've put into this product is a coupling facility structure display. It's a real-time display of the structure list of the major IMS structures in use within the IMS Sysplex. It provides information such as statistics, connection information about connections, and coupling facility information. From the overall panel there of the structure list, there's the ability to drill down to these levels of detail, and I'll show you an example of this through the next several slides. On slide 20 is the list of IMS structures in use by the Sysplex environment. You can see that the list includes structure name, you can see the message queue overflow, resource structure, IRLM locking structure, and OSAM caching structure. That's what's in use within this configuration, but there could be more based upon your own configuration. Along with this information, we provide overall information about the current number of connections, the maximum number of connections permitted to that structure, as well as overall utilization information about entries and elements. You can see that in this example, we're replacing a select command, line command, next to the resource structure. And from here, we'll drill down and get some additional information about that resource structure. Moving on to slide 21, once we've selected that structure, we get a submenu, which provides us with the ability to get additional information about structure statistics, connections, and CF coupling facility data. So we select option one, and obtain information about structure statistics. Again, entry counts, element counts. In this case, we now have maximum entry and element counts, entry and element ratios, and percentages of entries in use compared to the overall entry count, as well as element count. We also provide information about the initial policies, the policy definition, the size for this particular structure, as well as the overall maximum size for the structure. On the following slide is information about connections, which address spaces within the Sysplex have a connection to that coupling facility structure. We show that two systems have access to it. We show the connection name, ID and version information. We also show the name of the MVS or the MVS OS name where the job that has access to the structure is executing. We show the job name, ASID, and the status of the connection to the structure. On the following slide, we show information about the coupling facility on which the structure resides. Note the name of the coupling facility, some other information about the manufacturer of it, if it was running as an LPAR partition coupling facility, we would have information there about that as well. So you can see that with this single access, we can get all types of information about not only all the coupling facility structures, but detail about each structure. And with that, I'll turn this back over to Mitch for the next scenario.
Thank you. Let's talk a little bit about long locks. Basically, long locks are database lockouts that are caused by applications when they hold an Ireland lock for an inordinate amount of time. These can go unrecognized until it becomes critical. You may not get notified until someone notices they're having a performance problem. Locking is a normal situation. Locks are held too long, that's when the problems occur. There are few tools which help you recognize and identify these situations. And in order to resolve these situations, it requires manual intervention, which again requires time in which your system is experiencing problems or unavailable. We provide an exception processing for long locks. It's a real-time recognition of these Ireland long lock situations when they occur.
Pardon the interruption, Mr. Dooley. It appears your audio quality is of poor levels. If you could maybe sit closer to your speakerphone.
Okay, what I'm going to do real quick is I'm going to go to mute and back and see if that corrects it. Is it any better?
It's slightly better. If there's a way you could maybe turn your volume up or sit closer to the microphone.
Okay, is that any better?
It sounds slightly better, yes.
Well, I'll speak very loud then. Okay. We're still on foil 25. IMS Sysplex Manager provides the ability to detect long lock situations as they occur. We will take this information, analyze it, and present the top blocker, which is the resource being held and who holds it that needs to be freed up in order to free up the situation. This information is recorded in an exceptions file, which can be viewed after the fact. And this information, we provide messages which can be automated so that your automated operations can resolve these situations and respond to them quickly without manual intervention. On foil number 26, you will see the output of this information. You'll see that we have some messages that are issued that detect or show the detection of these long locks. In this case, you'll see we've identified the top blocker that is causing the problem, and in this case, it is a BMP named BMP 21. On foil number 27, you'll see we've created some automation that looks for these messages that detects the top blocker. In this case, has done a stop region on the particular region that's causing this problem. That will free up that resource and allow the work that's behind it to go through. Okay. On foil 28, not only do we look at and detect long locks, we also provide normal IRLM locking information. It's difficult sometimes to realize and identify which IMS resources are being held, who they're being held by. There are chains involved a lot of times with who's holding a resource and who's waiting on that resource, and it's difficult to determine a lot of times those chains and who is impacting or causing other work to wait. So we provide also a real-time display of IRLM locks that are in progress. They can be looked at by either dependent region drill down. You can look at what regions are holding resources, or you can look at it by the resource to see which resources are being held and drill down to see who is holding them. Okay, on foil 29, we'll see the menu for this ILM locking. There are four options. You can look at the locks held by dependent region, locks held by the resource that's being held, or if you want to look at actual lock contentions where you have holders and waiters, you can look at lock contentions by dependent region or by resource. In this case, we're going to look at the locks held by resource. We've selected option two. And on slide number 30, you'll see we have a resource for the DVD name DVHDOK01 that has a lock against it that shows the RBA number, which is associated with that lock, shows the database DCB number, the lock type. That's a global lock. And you can see on the right we have a waiter count of one. If we select this resource to drill down farther, on slide number 31, you'll see the detail for this particular lock, and you'll see that there are two resources involved. The first resource is shown and identified as the holder of the resource. It shows which IMS it's on, which region ID, the job name. It's a BMP in this case. It holds the lock status and update, and it's active. And you'll see on IMS1 we have a waiter, which in this case happens to be a dependent region, MPP02, that is waiting on that resource. So from here you can see who is holding the resource and who is waiting on it. And with that, on foil number 32, I'll turn it back to Bob.
Thank you, Mitch. In this scenario, we'll be taking a look at the management of IMS dependent regions and a SysPlex. Typically, IMS operations and SysProgs become concerned about IMS dependent regions when response time becomes sluggish in the system or the transaction workload becomes backlogged. The task of obtaining information about dependent regions in an IMS SysPlex becomes complex because of having to go to multiple IMS systems and view the status of these dependent regions. It becomes particularly of greater concern when IMS-dependent regions are operating in a shared queues environment and the work is actually split or partitioned amongst the IMS systems operating in the SysPlex. So at this point, the operator needs to determine what dependent regions are available, what transaction classes do they handle, are they occupied with work, if so, what are they doing? If not, what are they waiting for? Maybe an example might be some pool space contention. So within IMS SysPlex Manager, we provide a scrollable list of all dependent regions across the SysPlex. It appears almost like an enhanced display active region command, IMS command, and in addition also displays overall DL1 DBTM call counts, so you can easily see DL1 activity from within a dependent region from this display. We also provide the ability to sort or resequence the display by either primary or secondary classes. So if you're looking for a group of dependent regions that may have a particular class, if you resequence by this primary or secondary class, it automatically becomes very apparent to you which dependent regions have that class. Also from this display, we offer a drill-down capability to a lower of level of detail that displays a great deal of detail about what's going on within that dependent region. So we'll move on to slide 33, and I'll give you an example of the output from this function. You can see that the display is of all dependent regions within the IMS SysPlex. Common to most of our displays, we have a column for the IMS system name, the region number, region type, job name, tran code, program status, and classes, and that's very much like an IMS display active region command. Notice that on the right-hand side of the screen, there's a more indicator with the two carrots next to it. That indicates that there's scrollability to the right here as well. And if you were to scroll to the right, you would see the counts for the DL1 and TM total calls from that dependent region during that scheduling. We also offer the ability to drill down, as I mentioned, by placing the select in the command input field. We're selecting region MPP02 from IMS1, and we'll drill down and see what detail we get from that. on to slide 34. I've only given a sample of the information here. There's pages and pages and pages of information to look through, but I've pointed out over the next few slides some of the more important information. Up top, you can see a little summary of the information that was also displayed on the prior display about what the region number, the type, status, and classes. We also have this display this cross-memory window state indicator. And what this means is that when the dependent region is in a cross-memory state from the dependent region either into the control region or into DL1 SAS, this flag is set to Y. And the usefulness of this flag is when, if you were to issue a stop region cancel against this region when it was in, when that cross-memory state indicator was Y, you can almost guarantee that your IMS system would crash with a user 113 append. So the purpose of displaying it here is to give you some indication as to whether or not it would be a good idea to issue a stop region cancel against this region if it was perceived to be holding up some scheduling. Down below, we also provide some overall information about the user ID who scheduled this transaction. The user ID indicator indicates L, which means that the user ID isn't present and that the L term name is being used as the user ID. Also, the date and time when the message was actually received and queued. On the following page, we show overall PCB information about either the current or last PCB that was used by this application in communicating with IMS. You can see that it was a database PCB with the DBD name DBHDOK01. The function code, DL1 function code, is get hold unique with processing options AP. So you can see exactly what this application is doing in terms of DL1 processing. On the next page is a detailed list of the DL1 call functions that were used by this application during the scheduling. Both the message queue calls and the individual database calls are detailed here, and you can see the number of calls that were performed by this application in DL1 processing. That's all I have on this scenario. Mitch?
Okay, thanks, Bob. Like we mentioned earlier, there are many new address spaces or many address spaces with your environment, and one of those is the IRLM address spaces. There could be multiples across your Plex, and there's information within the IRLM that's very important to monitor, such as deadlock situations, false contentions, or the storage utilization. And in this environment, you have multiple IRLMs to check. And we provide a way to look at the IRLMs in an aggregated view in which we take the information from all the IRLMs, the key information, and it's aggregated or summed together so you can get a picture of your IRLM environment as a whole. And then we also provide the ability to drill down into the individual IRLMs in order to see that information at the IRLM level. We'll go to foil 38, you'll see this. Here we have, if you look at the top panel, it says, you'll see the statement aggregated IRLM statistics. So this shows that this is an aggregation of all the IRLMs in the environment, and we will show the various counters and statistics associated with the IRLM. And you can look down here and see the type of statistics, the global activity counters, the type of requests, and how many are there have been. And on foil number 39, you'll see a continuation of this information to show resource contentions and system activity counters. And there is more information that we do show for IRLM. You'll see in the middle, or the kind of below the top section, this enter S to view detailed IRLM statistics. This is where you would enter an S, and we will take you into the detail for these IRLMs. And if you go to the next slide, 40, we'll see that we've done that. And what you see here, the difference is these are no longer aggregated. It is local statistics, local to this IRLM. The IMS ID column on the left-hand side shows which IMS this particular IRLM is associated with, and we will show the counters and the statistics for that IRLM. And on foil number 41, you'll see we've paged down, and we now have the same or similar information for another IRLM that's associated with IMS2. Go to foil 42, please. IMS commands, you're familiar with them, the slash commands, type 1 commands, the new OM commands that you can issue through the operations manager. When you have multiple IMS systems, the ability to issue commands across multiple environments can be difficult. You may have to synchronize those commands in order to look at status or change status or alter a resource across the Plex. IMS SysPlex Manager provides a command interface that allows you to issue both the original classic Type 1 commands as well as an interface into the single point of control, which gives you access to the new Type 2 commands. The output of the commands is recorded in a file that is in ISPF view mode so that you can modify and alter and do such things as exclude and find on the file. And we also, similar to TSO ISPF option 6, we will save off the list of the previously executed commands so that you can simply put your cursor on a command, hit enter, and pop that command up to the command line and process it. On foil number 43, you'll see this panel. And again, it's very similar to TSO option 6. We have the list of commands that you've entered previously at the bottom. We have a command line. And we show, again, the route information. In this case, we're going to send this command to multiple IMSs, and we're going to do a display old command to those IMSs. On foil 44, you'll see the output. And again, notice here, this is ISPF view mode. It's a temporary file in view mode, so you can do whatever manipulation you want on this, even copy it and paste it and do things like that. For each of the IMS systems that the command was executed on, you'll see a header where it says first response from, and it shows IMS1, and that'll be followed by the actual output of the command. And then if we go to foil 45, you'll see, paging down, you'll see the same thing for the second IMS, IMS2, and the responses from the command from that system also. And with that, I'll turn it back to Bob, and he'll talk about CQS.
Thanks, Mitch. This scenario involves the management of CQS in the shared message queue in its environment. Right now, managing CQS in the shared message queue's environment is rather difficult because there's a lack of tooling to obtain CQS statistical information. And it's probably required to be able to optimize the shared queues environment that you understand what's going on within CQS. So we provide within IMS SysPlex Manager a list of shared queue structures in use. The information we provide here is high-level information with drill-down capability to lower levels of detail, which include structure statistics, CQS process encounters, structure rebuild statistics, as well as structure checkpoint statistics. And through the next several slides, I'll show you examples of this. On slide 47, the initial output from this function shows you message queue structures in use. In this configuration, both the EMH queue and full function message queue are in use. The structures here are paired off by structure type as well as their overflow companion if that was in place as well. You can see that to the right, there's overall utilization in entries and elements percentage in use. From here, we can drill down to get additional details about a particular structure. In this instance, we'll select the primary message queue structure by entering the S in the command field for that structure, which takes us to slide 48, which offers us a submenu of options to choose from, where we can choose structure statistics, process encounters, structure rebuild statistics, and checkpoint statistics, and I'll take you through each one of them. On slide 49 is the overall structure statistics. We show information about both primary and overflow if overflow is in place. We tell about checkpoint information, how many systems checkpoints were taken, how many structure checkpoints were taken, so you can check to see that checkpoints have been taken frequently enough. It also gives you information about how frequently or how many times the structure has been rebuilt. There's also overflow threshold processing number that tells you how many times CQS has entered into moving messages from the primary structure into the overflow structure in order to keep the primary structure from overflowing. We also provide information down here, down to the bottom, about primary and overflow, overall entry counts, and entry counts, element counts, ratios, and that type of information. On slide 50, we show processing counters. These are the services that IMS uses to communicate with CQS, such as being able to browse the queue, read from the queue, delete from the queue, that type of thing. So you could, via this function, you can see how frequently or how many times IMS has actually used the various CQS services to manage the shared message queue. On slide 51, we show additional processing counters. And this is not from a CQS perspective, but it's more from the MVS perspective. We tell you how many times CQS itself has made requests to the MVS logger for write and browse processing. And the IXL list entries below that are the actual manipulation of the coupling facility structure itself, reads and writes and moves and deletes. So you can get an idea from the CQS services that are being invoked, what CQS is doing in turn with MVS in order to manage the structure. On slide 52, we show rebuild statistics. Structures, message queue structures are automatically rebuilt for you on structure failure, or you can initiate a structure rebuild yourself if, say, you wanted to move a structure from one coupling facility to another one. And in this, on the screen, we show the rebuild statistics from the last or the most recent rebuild that took place. It shows statistics from the old structure as well as statistics from the new structure and the coupling facility structure name from both the old and the new structure. So you can see the characteristics of the old and the new structure from this. On slide 53, we show information about structure checkpoint statistics, and this is from the most recent checkpoint, structure checkpoint that took place. We show the overall return code from the structure checkpoint to indicate how successful it was, information about when the structures were quiesced, the start date and start time, as well as when the quiesce actually ended. And you can see that that was a very, very short period of time. Also, as part of structure checkpoint, CQS quiesces the data, quiesces the structure, and captures the structure content within a data space. The information down here shows you the start and date time, start time and start date for that quiesce activity, as well as the end date, end time. And at the bottom, the end data set capture date. The next slide shows a continuation of that checkpoint information. Information about the structure that was checkpointed, how many elements were in use, how many list entries were allocated for both the primary and the overflow structure. And the very last line here indicates when CQS does this checkpointing process, it actually writes the contents of the structure to the structure recovery data set. And this line, this statistic here indicates how many physical IOs it took to actually externalize that contents out to the structure recovery data set, which is probably a nice tuning parameter to try to minimize that number. Okay. On the next scenario, on slide 55, we'll talk about the aggregation of SCI, RM, and OM statistics. Mitch had talked a little bit before about the aggregation of IRLM statistics. This function is similar to that in being able to aggregate statistics from the common service layer address spaces, SCI, RM, and OM. The statistics are maintained internally to these address spaces, and as far as we know, there's a lack of tooling to obtain the statistical information. Additionally, because there's multiple instances of these address spaces to check, that creates additional difficulty in trying to get a good picture of what these things are what these address spaces are doing internally. So this function gathers information from the common service layer address spaces across the Sysplex. We aggregate the information into a single system image, similar to the way we've done for other functions within the product. And from the single system image aggregation, we're able to offer you the ability to drill down to information for the individual address spaces. In the following example, I've chosen to show you this information for the resource manager, but the same type of data is also available for both OM and SCI address spaces as well. So moving on to slide 56, we see the View IMSplex data menu, and we'll select option 2 for RM aggregation of local statistics. Move on to slide 57, okay, where we see the statistics that have been gathered from all the resource manager address spaces within the Sysplex. Some of the statistics include update, query, delete, the various types of activities that resource manager performs internally on behalf of the clients that talk to it. If we want to see the information for each one of the individual resource managers within the Sysplex, we would enter an S in that input field, and what would show up on the next slide. On slide 58 is the same set of statistics that we saw aggregated on the prior slide, only now we can see them for the statistics from each resource manager that make up that composite number. Additionally, this set of output is also scrollable. There's a lot more data here than what we're showing, but for brevity purposes, I think this illustrates the purpose. And that's the end of that scenario. So, Mitch. It's all yours.
Thanks. We'll talk a little bit about our dashboard that's a capability we have within the product. There are certain key indicators on your running systems that are very important to your overall system health. You need to be able to determine the overall system health at a glance in order to see where or if there are any problem areas. And it would also be nice to be alerted when these indicators violate predefined thresholds. Our dashboard will give you an overall system health. It also provides a very good entry point into the product that gives you a view of the system health where you can drill down from there. We do provide this dashboard is user customizable for both the content and the positioning on the screen. You're able to set threshold values for the information that shows up on the screen so that you are alerted when a value exceeds a threshold. You have the ability to define one or more dashboards. There is a default supplied. Each user could have their own dashboard. You could have multiple dashboards for different days of the week, different times of the day, or different applications. We provide auto refresh capability on the screen so that you don't have to sit and hit enter. You can set an auto refresh mode, and at your specified time interval, we will go out and regather the statistics and the information on the screen and represent it to you. And from this dashboard, we have drill-down capability to allow you to go in and get detail for the information that shows up on the dashboard. If we look at slide number 60, we'll see the dashboard, or a sample dashboard. In this case, you can see we have taken information, some of which we've already shown you on other panels and other parts of the presentation, that show an overall view of this system, this Plex environment. In this case, you'll see under the message queue depths that we have on the transaction serial queue, we have a situation we may want to look at. There are 1,000 transactions queued up. From here, each of these sections you can notice in the white is a heading, and on that heading there is a selectable input field. When you select that field, you will be taken into the drill down for that particular piece of information, which will take you into the part of the product where that information can be viewed. And here we're going to select message queue depths, and if you'll see on slide number 61, when we do that, we're taken into the destination queue depths panel. And this panel will show you any destination which has more than or one or more messages queued to it. In this case, this is for a destination that is on the shared message queues. It shows the CQS ID. The destination name is SMQ6, which is a transaction on the serial queue. In this case, you can see that there are 1,000 of these transactions queued up. So when you drill down, again, for any of those items that show on the dashboard, you'll be taken to the specific part of the product that shows that information. And on FOIL 62, that concludes our presentation. If you have a need for additional information, once you get information documentation or marketing information, you can access the URL shown on the screen there to get further information. And with that, Steve, I guess we're ready for open up for Q&A.
Thank you. Today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. That is star 1 on your telephone if you would like to ask a question. We'll take our first question from Alan Kress with Wachovia. And Alan Kress, your line is open. We'll move on to Neil Schrechter with AT&T.
Yes, can you use this product on IMS images that do not use a coupling facility, do not use IRLM, that are more or less standalone?
Yes, we don't have any restrictions on any specific flavor of IMS Plex or IMS and Assist Plex. So if you find some of the features of this product useful in a non-SysPlex environment, it would certainly work.
Thank you.
Well, we'll move on to Keith Williams with Wachovia National Bank.
Good morning. I was wondering, does this tool provide any information from the point of view of IMS databases that use KSDS files, whether or not they need to have their infrastructure setups changed in a different way for SysPlex? CI size, that type of thing.
Not at this point in time. We don't provide that level of detail, but we'd be happy to listen to any requirements for that type of information.
Can that information be gleaned any other way other than this tool? What I'm looking for is I'm interested in the performance of the base KSDS file, and I've been searching for a way to be able to tune an IMS database just looking at it from a vSAN perspective as well as the overall performance of the database.
To be completely honest with you, I'm not sure of how you would do that.
Neither am I. Other than the record size of the actual record from the DBD and tune it back that way, but I was hoping y'all would have some more information there. Can we take that as a takeaway and see what we can come up with?
Yes, we can. We certainly will. Thank you much for the question.
Again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. Our next question comes from Jim Pearson with Wachovia Bank.
Thanks. Couple quick questions. Is there a interface with either CCF and or the OmegaMon products? What are the goals there for integrating this?
We are looking at integration with the rest of our IMS Tools products. Right now, this is the first release of this product. We're establishing a base point for it, but as we move forward, we are working with OmegaMon and the CCF folks in trying to do integration. Is there something specific you'd be interested in?
No, not off the top of my head. It was just that here's another tool that we have to try and, you know, jump to if we want a particular thing, and we're already looking at a lot of OmegaMon stuff, which had some things in here from that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we will be looking for synergies between the products, and our intent with this product was to actually provide complementary function to existing IBM products, and I think we've done so.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Anthony Now with Wachovia Bank.
Hi, this is Tony. A question I have, the displays and monitoring that's done is all done on a real-time basis, but can you set any thresholds and have certain things monitored and recorded to a file that you could go back or look at for historical purposes?
In the first release, we don't have that function, but we do have that requirement from other customers to provide that function, and we'll be looking at that function for the follow-on release of the product.
Okay, so in a locking situation, if you're not logged on at the time that the locking is occurring, are you going to have to go back and dump the log tape then?
Well, there's two functions within the product for IRLM locking. One is a real-time function, so you can go in and you could actually see what's going on within the system. The second one that Mitch had discussed was the long lock situation, and that can happen asynchronously without any user being logged on at all. When the situation occurs, the long lock situation occurs, IRLM will notify Sysplex Manager, or Sysplex Manager will recognize that from IRLM and automatically generate the exception. The exception will be recorded in the system exceptions file, and any console alerts that have been set up will be generated as well. Based upon those alerts, you can build automation to automatically take care of the problem, the way that we did in the sample here.
Now, when you're talking about console alerts, are you referring back to the MVS console, or is there a specific IMS console that gets alerted? I'm an old timer, and when I started on IMS, we had something called master terminals.
Right.
Master terminal operator, and even till today, there's very important messages that go to the soft copy of the MTO console, and most folks don't realize that there is that type of facility available where you get some really important IMS messages. Now, if we run into a situation in IMS with this product, is there alert flags or anything that could pop up like you can with OmegaMon or some other monitoring tools?
Well, I think that the on the dashboard right now, no, there's no alert for that. But we do record these system in addition to flashing them up on the OS console, just to clarify. That's what the default exit routine does for this. It WTOs it to the OS console. We also do record it in a system log, okay, that we provide an interface to for viewing as well.
Just to add a little bit on what Jim Pearson mentioned earlier, is that, I mean, this looks like a real handy tool, but we're having to learn so many different products, and I see myself, or I see technicians jumping from one screen to another, to another, to another, to possibly drill down what a potential problem is. Now, you mentioned that this tool is going to collaborate or have an interface to Spock. Wouldn't Spock and this sort of join forces and become one where, if we're going to have a single point of control, I can see nothing better than to integrate this with Spock.
And we see your point, which is, you know, when we did the design on the tool, we recognized the fact that we wanted Spock and this tool under a single umbrella, and we've done that in a seamless fashion. In terms of integrating with other tools, that's within our plan as well, to provide you with a single interface into your IMS system.
Okay, sounds good. Go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Eloy Cosby with CSX Technology.
Yes, does this product show any information on the connection from DB2?
On the dependent region display, which we showed also, but we didn't show that portion of it. If a transaction or a program were accessing DB2, it would show the DB2 system and the DB2 plan name that it was accessing at that point in time.
Okay, thank you.
And our next question comes from Alan Kress with Wachovia.
Yeah, is this part of a greater product in which is a Sysplex manager for managing, say, CICS plexes, DB2 plexes, IMS plexes?
Currently, the product is a standalone product for IMS.
Okay.
And there are no further questions.
Great. Thank you, Steve. If there's no further questions, then I'd like to say thank you for everyone for taking time out of your busy schedules to attend this teleconference call, IMS in a Sixplex, Making It Manageable. And a special thanks to Bob and Mitch for being our speakers today. If you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact either myself, Margaret Wilson, or Diane McCollum, and we'll be glad to put you in touch with an IMS Tools sales or technical sales specialist. And our next IMS Tools presentation will be on March 21st, and that presentation is entitled, Does Worrying About How to Recover Your IMS Databases Keep You Awake at Night? So please plan on joining us. Thanks, everyone, and have a great day.
This does conclude today's teleconference. We thank you for your participation. Have a nice day.